are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, January the 9th, and a possible new owner and a definite beeline boner. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. I love when I can get him to rhyme at the top there, but I'm a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. I do like using the word boner when people make mistakes. Oh, you made a real boner there. I just think that's the teenage mind of mine thinks that's very funny. We are going to talk a little bit about John Beilein today and what he said in a Cavs film session Wednesday in Detroit as he prepared for tonight's game against the Pistons. We're also going to talk about who might be joining the Pistons ownership group someday, a guy that I'm a big fan of, and also the disturbing report from Bleacher Report and why I'm not putting too much stock into it. But give me a follow on Twitter for all the latest news about the Pistons as the trade deadline approaches on February 6th. Coming up soon, give me a follow at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. But the Pistons back in action tonight at home against Cleveland, back home for three after the six-game roadie where they went 2-4. And the Cavs come to town with a bit of an issue on their hands, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.com. And I quote, "After stunning his players in a film session Wednesday with a verbal suggestion they were no longer playing, quote, like a bunch of thugs, end quote, Cleveland Cavaliers coach John Beilein later reached out to players individually to insist he instead meant the word, to use the word slugs, went on to be quoted by Adrian Wojnarowski as saying, I didn't realize that I had said the word thugs, but my staff told me later I did, so I must have said it. Beilein told ESPN on Wednesday night, I meant to say slugs, as in slow moving. We weren't playing hard before, and now we were playing harder. I meant it as a compliment. That's what I was trying to say. I've already talked to 8 of my players tonight, and they're telling me that they understand. End quote. Wow. John Beilein with the slip of the tongue, the Freudian slip, whatever you want to call it. Not good. I have no take on this. I am smarter than that. I'll give takes about what the Pistons should get for Andre Drummond, whether Derrick Rose should be on the trade block, and if Luke Kennard should be in the long-term plan. But I'm smarter than to be a white dude and have strong takes about what an old white dude said to his NBA basketball team. Obviously, it's in bad taste. We can all agree on that. But as far as the cancel culture, the repercussions of what should happen to John Beilein, I'm not going to get on my soapbox either way on this and talk bad about John Beilein or defend him or all either. Just not going to do it. And, of course, the fact that he's a Michigan man, a beloved guy for the University of Michigan basketball team and university as a whole, puts a little bit of a different angle on it from the perspective of people here in the Great Lakes State. But sir, I think we can all agree that not only was this situation bad, but things are just not looking good. On the wide-angle lens for John Beilein, he signed a 5-year deal to surprisingly leave Michigan in order to go to the Cleveland Cavaliers this year. I didn't criticize him at the time. I thought if you got that itch, might as well scratch it. But as we know, if we're staying on the cliche train, the grass is always greener on the other side. I think that a lot of us, maybe all of us, in some points in our life have kind of faced these kind of decisions, whether it's career-wise, personal-wise, relationship-wise, romantic-wise, whatever we're talking about, friendship-wise, maybe probably a much smaller scale, I would imagine, than the decision that John Beilein faced. But, you know, you've got this situation. It's pretty good. And maybe there's this other situation that you think might be better. And it turns out you get over there and maybe it's not as good, or maybe you're not as good of a fit for it. And obviously we're speaking a little bit specifically about John Beilein in this case, but maybe there's some parallels to that situation that you face in your own life. But speaking of parallels, the first thing I thought of when I saw the notification come through from Wojnarowski about John Beilein's situation, it kind of took me back to the Keith Dambrot story from Central Michigan University. I know most of you are listening thinking, who is Keith Dambrot? Well, you maybe have heard of Keith Dambrot. The thing that he's most famous for is coaching LeBron James in high school at Akron St. Vincent St. Mary's. After that, he went on to coach the University of Akron And now he's the coach at Duquesne in Pittsburgh, the Division I college basketball school over there. But before he was at St. Vincent St. Mary's in Akron, Ohio, he used to be the coach at Central Michigan University, my alma mater. And I did not hear about this story until I got up to CMU and was studying the archives, studying the old big CMU stories when I was up there as a young student journalist, eager to make my way in the journalism game. Little did I know that a decade plus later I'd be podcasting from my apartment. What the hell happened to my life? But this was in the middle of the 2000s decade that I was there. But the incident happened in 1993, but I didn't hear about it until I was up in Mount Pleasant, which is strange because, you know, 1993, I'm 10 years old. I'm pretty much fully engrossed into the main broad strokes of the basketball world for the extent of a 10-year-old could be, I guess. But apparently, up in Mount Pleasant, I don't know if this happened in Mount Pleasant or Miami of Ohio, but in a game before a game against Miami of Ohio, Keith Danbrot dropped the N-word in the locker room. And apparently, it came out later that he asked if he could do it before he did it, which, by the way, is probably a tell to maybe not do it if you're asking permission to do something like this. Maybe you don't want to do it, but did it anyways. I think the context was something like, you guys got to go out there and play like N-words. So obviously just a completely ridiculous thing, even in 1993, to hear that kind of thing said, and a shocking thing. And of course, campus, you know, nothing, the team played, life kind of went on for a day or so, as I understand it. But, you know, later it was found out that this happened. The student newspaper CM Life reported it. Campus went nuts. He was eventually fired. Bad times for CMU. That's my little story about Keith Danbrot and the Central Michigan Chippewas from early 90s. But it's just kind of funny, you know, that obviously what Danbrot said was wrong. What John Beilein said was wrong. There is no doubt about that. I'm not making a case in either way. But it's just kind of interesting that that's what the parallel is, that that was such a shocking thing to say back then. I mean, if John Beilein had said what Keith Danbrot had said today, he'd be fired before the ink was dry. But I guess that's progress. I guess we can all kind of pat ourselves on the back a little bit. And I don't mean to make light of this story, but we're doing it. We make light of a lot of things here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. And let's just move on from this topic before I say anything even dumber than what I've said already tonight. But for the Pistons in the game against the Cavs tonight, Beilein, I promise that was a Freudian slip, and the Cavs will take on the Pistons. And no Luke Kennard once again. He must have gotten bad news on his checkup earlier this week about the knee tendonitis. Of course, Blake Griffin's out. Reggie Jackson's out. Kyrie Thomas. Markieff Morris. Everyone that we come to expect, those guys are out as well. For Cleveland, Dante Exum is out. He didn't play on Tuesday, but now he's officially ruled out. Dylan Windler, Larry Nance. He was questionable and didn't play on Tuesday. He's out this time. So kind of the same group against each other as Tuesday that met in Cleveland, and the Pistons won that one. 115 to 113 as I drop my pen. But the Pistons at home, this one, are 7-point favorites tonight. Quick update from Wednesday. The Hornets lost and the Magic won. On Wednesday nights, the Pistons now tied for ninth in the Eastern Conference with the Charlotte Hornets. 3 games behind Brooklyn for eighth and now 4 games behind Orlando for seventh. Up next, we're going to talk about a new potential minority owner for the team. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you can choose any game and call it? I know I had a good feel on the games last weekend, but well, my bookie is the place for you because they let you turn your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, NBA, and the start of college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with my bookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this weekend, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants you to get your mind off everything else, that pesky life stuff. Get your mind off that and get back on the gambling game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. You'd be silly not to do this. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, I will touch on the report from the Bleacher Report about Derrick Rose and why you shouldn't be too up in arms about it, whether you're a Derrick Rose stan or someone who wants the Pistons point guard to possibly be moved this month or early next month as well. But let's talk about Jalen Rose. If you've come to this podcast for Jalen Rose slander, you've come to the wrong place. I've talked about it on this podcast before, that grew up as a Michigan fan, especially because of guys like Charles Woodson. And prior to that, the Fab Five, Desmond Howard, and all that kind of stuff. It was just a cool team to root for when I was a teenager in the late 90s, early 2000s, early 90s as well, with the Fab Five and Howard before that, Woodson later than that. It was just the team to root for in Southeast Michigan, unless you were a Michigan State family. Obviously, nothing wrong with that. And then Tom Izzo comes in and makes it cool to be a Michigan State fan. And Mark D'Antonio does an even better job of that. So I can see that the younger set, maybe if you're in your 20s as opposed to me in my mid to late 30s, that maybe a lot of you guys in your 20s that are neutral to the rivalry might have grown up more of a Michigan State fan. But like I said, Fab Five, I mean, a dude like me in the suburbs of Detroit, it didn't get any better than the Fab Five. You know the cultural impact that that group had, and just being cool dudes at a time when sports was a little bit more buttoned up at the time, the black socks, the baggy shorts. Of course, you can picture a 12-year-old Matt Shook wearing the black socks with the Churchill Chargers with our black and gold jerseys. We had really cool sets back in the day. Yeah, we all wore black socks, I'm guessing. The starting five did anyway, and we thought we were really cool. We thought we were the Fab Five. I can imagine it was very original to call the starting five at your junior high in the early 90s the Fab Five back then. We were probably the only people that did that. But why are we talking about Jalen Rose? Well, the ESPN personality, and by the way, I've always liked Jalen Rose. I like the Mitch Albom book, The Fab Five. No Mitch Albom slander allowed on this show either. By the way, we've covered that in the past. But Jalen Rose, back when I was an intern and then a part-time weekend employee at WDFN during the salad days of Detroit Sports Radio, working with Jamie and Greg Brady in the mornings, and then dealing a little bit with Stoney and Wojo in the afternoons, my boy Shawnee B, who I still see at the Lions games these days, Sean Belizean, love that dude. But a good group of guys, a nice time in Detroit Sports Radio to kind of be around that group. Those guys were a little bit of my heroes back in the day, not too proud to admit it. But the reason I bring that up is because even back then, Jalen Rose was starting to kind of do some media work when his team would be eliminated, and he'd be doing some stuff on TNT for the playoffs and getting on to the beginnings of ESPN. I think he might have been on Best Damn Sports Show at times as like a correspondent or something like that. But I knew it even way back then, just from watching Jalen in interviews and seeing him do a little bit of this media bits, that I was like, you know, the WDFN had their own problems. Clear Channel laid off a bunch of the guys. Jamie and Brady were suddenly axed one day while I was a part-time worker there. And I just thought, man, if WDFN was smart, if 97 won the ticket, which was the burgeoning radio station at that time, if they were smart, they would just offer Jalen Rose the bag, have him be the afternoon drive time host with some, you know, more seasoned radio vet who could kind of steer the ship and guide the show in ways, and just have Jalen be on there, whether that's the morning drive or the afternoon drive. You would just kill it with the ratings. Everyone would listen. My generation, suburban white kids, would listen. You might actually get the inside of Detroit crowd, which is underrepresented big time in the media of Detroit. Look at the newspapers, look at the radio stations. Not a lot of black people from Detroit or black people in general that are in positions of media spokes, forward-facing media positions, I guess is the best way to put it. So it would be great if Jalen Rose could kind of bridge all those gaps. I think that all audiences would pretty much love to have him on. And I've been kind of proven right by the fact that ESPN has picked him up, and Jalen would have been a little bit undersold as a radio host in Detroit at that time. But man, I wonder what might have been if some program director back then had the stones to offer Jalen Rose a gig. But obviously, Jalen Rose still very involved in Michigan and Detroit, even though he lives out in California for the most part. But you see him around town a lot still. The Jalen Rose Leadership Academy is a public charter school in Northwest Detroit that does a great job graduating kids in the city, and just an outstanding place since 2011 that he opened up. But he is talking about becoming a minority owner with the Detroit Pistons. Tom Gores is not only the majority owner of the Pistons, he is the only owner of the Pistons. He bought out the rest of his company, Platinum Equity, and he is the sole owner of the Detroit Pistons. But Jalen Rose was on Sports Media with Richard Deitch, the podcast there. Richard used to be on Sports Illustrated and did a media podcast for them, but has since moved on to The Athletic, and I think he might even be no longer there. He's up in Toronto doing radio, but still does the Sports Media with Richard Deitch podcast. It's a good listen. I check it out if the someone who is of note is the guest on the show. And by the way, big shout out to Pavel, who sent me the link for this. I appreciate you so much. Keep sending me information and tips and other things that you want to hear me talk about here on this show and possibly write about Detroit news as well. Always wanting to hear from you guys as far as things you've heard on other podcasts, things you see across the internet, trade rumors, all that other kind of stuff about the Detroit Pistons. Please send them to me. But what Rose said on this interview, and you can listen to it, it was released on Wednesday: I would love to be a minority owner with the Detroit Pistons. I feel like there's a wealth of things that I could bring to the table. He pointed to guidance that he got from Dave Bing, the former Detroit mayor, and of course, Zeke, Isaiah Thomas, Jalen Rose's hero when he was growing up. And Isaiah Thomas, as we know, has had a post-playing days with business. He's doing the champagne in Chicago right now. He's on NBA TV. He used to coach. He used to run the Toronto Raptors. He used to run the CBA and the New York Knicks as well. Jalen pointed to those guys as inspiration for his post-playing days endeavors. And like I said, most notably and most importantly, JRLA, the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy. If you're looking for a foundation during the holidays to donate to, or like one of those gifts for your parents when you just give them something, hey, we donated something in your name, I would encourage JRLA to be one of those things that you consider. Tom Gores and his wife Holly are big supporters of the JRLA financial-wise. And Rose said, I applaud him for bringing the team downtown, talking about Tom Gores and the Pistons. That's something that stood out to me in another career opportunity that may or may not present itself, or I could be coaching on the collegiate or professional level. So Jalen has not ruled out going into coaching, but also said that he wants to stay on ESPN and also get involved with production on ESPN as well. So Jalen Rose making noise about joining the Pistons in an ownership capacity down the road. And as a Jalen Rose stan, although we didn't call ourselves stans back then, I don't know what we called ourselves, just a fan, I guess. But I was a Fab Five guy, big Jalen Rose guy. Never met Jalen, but he tweeted at me a couple times, I believe. So pretty happy about that back in the day. But, yeah, I'm all for it. Have Jalen Rose come aboard, a guy who knows Detroit, a guy who knows hoops, a guy who can relate to the players and all that good stuff. I would eat that up. A full endorsement from here on the Locked on Pistons podcast. But speaking of full endorsements, if your company wants to reach an upscale male audience, then your company's ad should be running right here, right now on this here podcast. To get your company connected with the Locked on Pistons podcast audience, email me at Matt_Schoch, that's S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to get more details about increasing your business. It's kind of the dead time for my writing career, so your boy could use a little extra bucks, and I know that we can help your business out. So this is my personal plea. It's my birthday coming up too, by the way. My personal plea to get your business involved in a short-term, short-risk investment of the Locked on Pistons podcast, and I promise you I will work my ass off to make sure it pays off for your business. But up next, we're going to talk about the Bleacher Report that Derrick Rose is involved in that you probably shouldn't get too excited about. That's whether you're on either side of the Derrick Rose discussion. That's coming up next here on the Locked on Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked on Network, your team every day. All right, let's talk about Derrick Rose, kind of the hot topic with the Pistons right now. Even the Andre Drummond fans are resigned to the fact that he might be on the move here in the next couple weeks. We fully endorse that here on the Locked on Pistons podcast. But the controversial topic is Derrick Rose, and I think that whatever side you're on of this, and there's probably a larger gray area than we all know just because we all kind of get in these Twitter fights and don't really listen to each other when we're talking. Of course, I think everyone would agree that if the offer was good enough, you trade Derrick Rose. And if the offer is not good enough, you don't trade Derrick Rose. Now, the shades of gray in between on what's good enough and what isn't, I've talked about how I would probably do it if it was a first-round pick, and if it was an early second-round pick, you'd consider it, given that he's at the peak of his value right now and one injury away from being injured Derrick Rose yet again. And there's some very much some reasoning behind keeping him up until the summer, and maybe that value could increase if you roll the dice and think he's going to be healthy for the rest of the season. We know about his history. We also know that this year he's looked very good and that injuries are a little bit random, but of course they happen to the guys like Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson and Derrick Rose a little bit more than the average person. We're not going to get into a long thing about Derrick Rose right now, but I will say that the Bleacher Report had a report written by somebody, but the more important part was their reporter Eric Pincus, who said that the this is to quote a Bleacher Report story, kind of fawning about Derrick Rose as a really good six-man of the year candidate and a very impactful possible trade chip coming up this month at $7.5 million a year, another season at that number next year. Just, man, a juicy trade chip out there for a team that really wants to get smart and make their bench a lot better than it is right now. Quoting this article, the impetus for any trade will be on Rose, though. His relationship with Arne Tellem, the team's vice chairman and Rose's former agent, was an important reason he signed to Detroit, and the Pistons won't ship him out unless it's something he asks for, a source told Bleacher Report's Eric Pincus. What does that mean? End quote, by the way. I don't think it means anything. I think it means that the Pistons are posturing in the media, if nothing else, and saying, hey, come and get it. You know, give us an offer. We'll go to Derek if you're the type of team that he might consider. I don't know Derek Rose personally. I don't know whether his love for Arne Tellem means he would say, no, I want to stay with the Detroit Pistons and miss the playoffs this year, probably next year as well, and turn down a chance to go play for the L.A. Lakers, which I don't know about you, but it seems like most players want to go play for the L.A. Lakers if they get a chance. Maybe he grew up in Chicago and hated the Lakers. So what about the Philadelphia 76ers? There's contenders out there that could use Derrick Rose. He's at that middle salary level where a lot of the good teams have the really high salaries and then all rookie contracts. I'm thinking about teams like Boston and Philadelphia that don't have a lot of those mid-range deals. The Lakers actually do have some of those mid-range deals. They can make the move work. Coincidentally or not coincidentally, or maybe tied into this possibly, is the Kyle Kuzma rumors that are popping up. We talked about Kyle Kuzma a little bit the other day. You know that I endorse a move to bring Kyle Kuzma to Detroit. Langston Galloway probably isn't the centerpiece, enough of a centerpiece to make a deal work for Kyle Kuzma, but Derrick Rose just might be. And obviously, if you're the Pistons, you're looking for young players in their rookie deals and or draft picks. Now, one thing that the Lakers do not have is draft picks because they traded a whole bunch for Anthony Davis, including a pick swap. The Stepien rules imply that you cannot trade your first-round pick away on consecutive future seasons. So the Lakers have traded next year's pick and 2 years after that and 2 years after that to New Orleans and also a pick swap for the fourth of those 5 years. So there's a pick swap opportunity in 2 years, but you don't want to do a pick swap for the Pistons with the Lakers because they're going to have a better pick than or a worse pick than you. So that doesn't make any sense. So you're talking about a bunch of second-round picks down the road. But a player like Kyle Kuzma, who's having a crap year this year, barely hanging on to his spot in the rotation, not starting for the Lakers, wilting under the pressure of LeBron James. Very affordable contract. He's under $2 million, so you can't make the salaries work. Just Rose and Kyle Kuzma. So you're going to have to throw in a guy like who? DeMarcus Cousins. Bring the all-star DeMarcus Cousins to Detroit. Of course, he's a one-year expiring deal. There's no playing purposes for DeMarcus Cousins. He would just be a salary that's moved and for all intents and purposes would never actually join the Detroit Pistons, although they would retain his rights in free agency and get first dibs for the extension. But, again, I don't picture that happening. It's just salary filler. Same goes for Avery Bradley, although Avery Bradley is under contract for next year as well at $4 million. So maybe that's something the Pistons would consider, a little bit of a reunion with Avery Bradley. But all that to say that Derrick Rose, I don't think the posturing by the Pistons doesn't mean anything quite yet. Again, if teams come and ask to trade for Derrick Rose, I would imagine that Arne Tellem goes to Derrick Rose and asks him what he thinks and says, hey, would you like to go play for a title in Philly? Would you like to go play for a title in L.A., Houston? Fill in the blank of any team that's definitely going to the playoffs. I think Derrick Rose would be in high demand, and I think he might be interested in that kind of thing. Although I will verify the relationship between Arne Tellem and Derrick Rose. It's a powerful thing. I got his book right in front of me here that I've been reading. Arne Tellem as a big part of Derrick Rose's life. And I saw them have a personal interaction last year when Derek was with the Minnesota Timberwolves. You could see the affection after the game in the hallway between Arn and Derrick Rose. It's a real thing, but still, Derek's looking out for himself, as he should. And you would think that would mean trying to go for an NBA championship and go deep into the playoffs with the team, something that he hasn't really been able to do throughout his career and something you would think is on his radar for the 30-plus part of his playing career. But this is your boy Matt Shook speaking of 30-plus parts of their careers with the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening, everyone. Pistons playing tonight at home against the Cavs. We'll recap that tomorrow and talk you into the weekend, as that's coming up soon as well here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you guys tomorrow.